Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to pray, and I've got a mezuzah, and I want to pray not for the mezuzah. The mezuzah is not spiritual, it's just a mezuzah. If you're not familiar with the mezuzah, it's traditional, it's not biblical, it's traditional to put these on the doorpost of your house. And it comes from the Vahavta, put those on the doorpost in your house, write these upon your gates. And so it's a mezuzah, and there's a, this is a kind of a contemporary look. In the middle, there's these lines that go vertical, and it actually spells out, it's kind of a W, and it's supposed to remind us of Shin, which is on every mezuzah, kind of this W look, which is, in Hebrew, a reminder of the Lord. It's the mark for the Lord. And we say we remember the Lord when we go in this place, and there's all kinds of cultural things to do, you know, how you hang it, where you hang it, and all this sort of thing. It's hung around doors. So we have a mezuzah for this building, and I've been waiting to pull it out. I want to pray. But the mezuzah itself, some people will say, especially people who are into Kabbalah, Kabbalah is theological garbage. There's no room for Kabbalah in the Word of God because it clashes with the Word of God. And Kabbalah says that there's luck that comes from the mezuzah. The problem is God doesn't say that. So we don't pray for the mezuzah. It's not spiritual. We don't get luck from the mezuzah. But here's what we do with our mezuzah. Two things. One, we're reminded this is the Lord's place. It's got the Shin on it. It's a reminder. Every time someone walks through those front doors on this side, this is going to be there, and it's a reminder. This is the Lord's house. And two, especially for Jews in the neighborhood or Jews in the community, and they walk in the first time and they see a mezuzah there, it will get their attention. Before they even know what's going on inside, before they see the ark on the stage, they get it. My wife and I, years ago, we had somebody's coming to our house. I don't remember what he was, an appraiser, a tradesman, something like that. And he was walking in. We had a mezuzah at the door. And he stopped. He saw it. He's a Jewish guy. He got it right away. And it enabled conversation. Isn't that cool? So we're going to have one here. So let's pray for a minute over this, shall we? Lord God, we seek you about this mezuzah. We know, Lord, it's not a directed thing in your word, but we're blessed to do it anyway, to tell people of you, to make this clear. Every time we walk in the door, Lord, it's a reminder of you. And also, God, for the testimony of you. So we pray for the testimony of you from this place. We pray, Lord, as people come, as Jews come, as Gentiles come that want to serve in this way, that all are told of you and all are told that this house follows you. Let it be a stark visual for people entering this building that you are Lord over this place. You are Lord over our lives. God, we know it's just an item, just a thing, but let it be a reminder of a holy God that is Lord over this place. Thank you for this, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. It is traditional to bless, to pray and have blessings over mezuzahs. They're traditional blessings, but I think we set a very biblical blessing. I got to get used to this layout. I got to get used to a lot of things. Do you know what I mean? It really is a new shoe situation for me. I'm breaking them in. Like, oh God! But at the same time, I'm so excited to get my new shoes. I'm so excited to be in this room. We have a lot of space. I know we have a lot of space. I'm going to speak to some of it. Poor George is going to think I'm picking on him. I'm not. One of the things I'm going to say is please don't move the ropes. Poor George just moved the rope. He doesn't even know why. But I'm going to talk about all this stuff in our building, but I want to give a little bit of a backdrop to the building, a biblical backdrop. It worked from this distance. Praise God. We've got a monitor here. Do you know every time I turn something on in this building, I'm like, will it work? Will it work? Will it work? And it works. Acts 7. Stephen, if you're ever looking to know how to be good at sharing faith, just read this message from Stephen, this prayer from Stephen in Acts 7. He's before, ultimately they find he's before the Sanhedrin. They're gonna stone him to death here when this is done. He doesn't know that at the time, but he's testifying of the Lord, and it is the easiest from beginning to end how the whole story, everything points to the Lord. It's a powerful message, and if we get the flow of it, not just the words, but the flow of it, we have a really good sense of how to share our faith with other people, especially Jews, because they get the backdrop. But for Gentiles also, there's a very good sense of who God is, the eternity of God's great. But we're jumping in the middle of it. And Stephen is talking to them, and they're really grilling him. But he says these profound things. And that's where we jump in. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness. Some call it the tabernacle. I don't think I really knew it was a tabernacle. I'm sure my dad had drilled it in my head, but it was, you know, we know it's the Mishkan. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as the one speaking to Moses had directed him to make it according to the design he had seen. Our fathers received it in turn and brought it in with Joshua when they took possession of the land of the nations that God drove out before the fathers. So it remained until the days of David, this tent, this big tent, this tent of witness, this Mishkan, who found favor in God's sight. He asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. He's talking about the home here. Catching on that, it used to be his tent, and David comes along and asks for it to be something else, to build something permanent. But Solomon built the house for him. Verse 48, however, Elyon, Most High, does not dwell in man-made houses, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says Adonai? What is the place of my rest? Stephen's saying something really heavy and really simple. The building is great, but it's not where God lives. The building is just the building. And even the temple, when there was the Holy of Holies that was behind the veil, it wasn't all of God packed in there. It was just God with them to remember. God with them to know that he was with them. Who's going to put God in a box? God, I'll make it a nice box. Will you fit in it then? I'll make it about this big. Would you like that? I mean, do we really think we could put God in a box? If we did, God wouldn't be everywhere. God is so much bigger. And this is what Stephen's saying. He said, we can't put God in a box. You guys want to take God and you want to put him in a box? He's saying, I mean, really, it's a great thing. 1 Corinthians 6, or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh? We give our life to the Lord and the Spirit comes to reside within us. Who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your own body. We got this great building. And you know, it's just a building. It's just a building. Some people, bless you. You sneeze right in front of me, man. I'm going to get you. But just don't sneeze on me. I'm messing. Levi's great. If you don't know Levi, get to know him. It's just a building. Everybody has thoughts about the building and opinions. It's just a place for us to gather. But at the same time, we know that God's not squeezed in here. We do see precedent in Scripture that God cares about the building. Exodus 31, then Adonai spoke to Moses saying, see, the Lord speaking now. This is the Lord talking. See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur. It's nice that the grandfather got some credit. A lot of times grandfathers don't get credit. For whatever reason, the Lord chose to call out Ur. He must have been a good, Hur. There must be some reason that God did that. Anyway, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanship. God took this guy and dedicated him to know how to do stuff with his hands and to know how to do stuff that later he could teach other people. This guy was a special guy. God had designs for the inside of that house, the inside of that temple. And God prepared somebody for it. If I look at this place, I think, well, you know, God, you have this place. I think he really brought us and brought people in so we could do what we did. Everything from the layout, the flow, the how we do the ministries. You know, for example, I'll say Debbie Jans in Cafe and Tracy Fernandez in Cafe and the things that they're doing there. They get a sense of the building. Shabbat School, Jeannie Timken, Marianne, what we do on stage, the musicians. I mean, there's so much collaboration and thought. I believe the Lord's been preparing us for a long time. Is this the only place he is? Of course not, but he does care. We read on in the chapter. And also, look, I myself have appointed. He pulls out another guy, and he gives this other guy other qualifications. God cares about the way things go and the way things look when something bears his name. You know, with our life, we talk about being a testimony unto the Lord because we bear his name. How do we live? Do we live genuinely? So, but also in a physical space, if we say something is God's, he cares about it, and therefore we need to care about it. True? So we're in this place. We know that God is so much bigger than this place, but yet this place matters. Barna did a survey recently. I really like statistics. I don't, you Bethites, you know that. What Barna found out about physical spaces in congregations in America. This is just America. It's not all over the world. 62% of all Americans look at houses of worship. And specifically, this is churches and synagogues. I don't know if this applies to mosques. I want to be clear on that. But they look at churches and synagogues. Remember, this is all Americans. They look at them as transcendent spaces. That's the word, transcendent spaces. That means they view them as a place unto their own. They don't see them as, they don't view them like businesses. They're special. They're special. And 62% of all Americans, even if they don't believe there's a God, think there's something special about these houses of worship. And there's this understanding, and agnostics will believe that. They'll say, well, I think the whole thing's a waste, but I understand that it's special to you. And even they recognize, and that's a 62% is a unanimous number. There's other people who are also trending along that way, like, well, yeah, I can see that. 42% of the total population, 42% of everybody, believe that if you go into a house of worship like ours, that you're closer to God. Now, we don't get this as much as we used to. We live in a different era. But it was not uncommon over the years in our different buildings for people to call or stop by and ask if they could come in during the week and just sit in our auditorium. These are people we didn't know at all. I remember one time there was a man in our first building on Burleigh. There was a man who asked if he could come in. And I thought, well, sure. And I thought, this is my chance talking about the Lord. Something was really bothering him. And he just wanted to sit down. The guy sat there for a long time. Whatever was bothering him, he sat in the auditorium and just sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there. Didn't do anything, didn't move anywhere, didn't pray, didn't do it. He just sat there. Now, there was something about that space he was looking for. We've had other people do the same thing. The building itself is a testimony. The building itself is an opportunity about the Lord. 47% of all Americans look at a house of worship, and they get a sense of peace about it. Remember, these are not just believers. They walk into a house of worship, and they go, okay, neutral territory. I can reset. Okay. There's an opportunity in the building, just the building. It's not God's house. He's not living here. It's not his address. N84W16971, send to care of God. But we know it matters. And we know the building itself is a testimony to people. We have lots to do in this space, but we're fully mindful, fully conscious of the layout matters to people, the condition matters, the testimony of the outside of the building matters. Sometimes we do things because we know that it matters to people who don't even know us. We know it matters to us. We know it matters to the vision that God's given us. But there's something special about the building itself, that God does do what he does within buildings and then also from buildings and through buildings. And so I want to share just a few things about our building with what's left of our time, so we're on the same page. First, we know the work isn't done yet. We get it. We don't even have doors up yet. We got a lot of work to do. Do you know why we're going to put doors there? So everybody late doesn't walk in those doors. It would get really annoying, wouldn't it? Half of Beth Messiah comes late. Go down the back. We're worshiping. Don't come in this way. That's fair, yeah? I've been late to services before. I don't want to walk in front. True? If you've been late, you don't want to walk in front. So we're going to put doors there for that. The back will have doors, but we'll just keep them open for the most part. That's just doors. We haven't even got to the other things that we have so much work. That back, if you go in the balcony and you look, you see the other side of this wall is just a row of wood. What are we going to do with that? Well, we're going to put storage rooms there. Storage. Can't have enough. But we don't want too much because we'll save everything going back to 20, whatever. We don't want to save a bunch of stuff, but we do want to put storage there, and we're going to add, so we've got that. We've got to touch up and repair walls. We've got stuff in the children's rooms to do yet. We have to decorate. A lot of the building still doesn't have anything even hanging up. It's just a bunch of stark white walls. We've got a lot to do. We're going to put an eternal flame there. You know what I was looking at today? I was sitting in the front. I was looking at all the fingerprints in the ark. Can you see them? Man, we got to do something about that. There is so much to do. Peter goes, how do you want us to stand? I don't know. That's a good question. We don't even know how to stand on stage yet. We have so much to do. There's four chairs in the back with little yellow post-it notes. That means that chair, one of the feet is missing on the chairs. We called the chair company. We said, would you send us 20 more feet? Some of the feet were lost in transit. They said, no, we can't do that, but we'll send you 5 new chairs. Okay. I don't understand it all, but that's what they did. Another thing, I'm standing here at the start of service today, and I look behind the subwoofers, and there's a bunch of junk on the floor. We didn't even pick up the room yet. Do you know how long it takes to vacuum this room? It takes a long time to just get over here with a vacuum. There is so much to do. Every now and then, somebody will come by and say, Jim, do you know what you have to do? Let me add it to the list, you know. We know there's a lot, but it's a good problem. You know, I had somebody tell me, this is the way I'm going to say it, because I think it really spoke to me how it happened. Somebody said, boy, Jim, you bought a generational building. And I said, I bought it. You said, we bought it. Yeah. We have a generational building. Here's what they meant by that. We have a building now that we can pass on to children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. If they outgrow it someday, they can push out a wall, they can double it, they can add parking, they can do all kinds of stuff here. There's possibilities with land here that we never had before. That's what they're saying, generational. Praise God, never had that before in that way. We always had a good building, but not in that way. And then they stopped and said, but you also got a generational project building. Meaning it's going to take generations to finish everything, which is true. So we know we're not done. A couple other things, bathrooms. There are bathrooms here behind this wall, behind this long new hallway. You don't have to go back upstairs to the old chapel. They're right here. And they're really ugly. There's also bathrooms, of course, near the Oneg area, and those are also really ugly. Yes, we're going to renovate all of them, but we have to get there. Fair? But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I... We're doing it. One of the ways we've been able to do so much of this building is we've done so much of this building. We haven't hired out. Some things we have hired out. Some things we've done ourselves. And the problem with doing it ourselves, it goes a little slower. So if people are patient, we'll do it. And it will be done inexpensively, but done well. I think this room is an example of that. It still was expensive, by the way. You want to hear some numbers? Just for the fun of it? I'm going to tell you anyway, Liz. The lights alone were $50,000. They're specialized lights. They have to reach down. The chairs were $27,000. The doors going around the building just to repair them and add two new ones was $32,000. The carpet is $41,000. How am I doing? Pretty good, huh? It goes like this. I haven't even got to the big stuff yet. We spent $3,000 just to hang the speakers. $4,000 on the TVs. You get the idea. Do you know why we have TVs now instead of screens? We used to have screens and projectors. We had an expert come in and say, well, you don't want to have screens here. Why not? Why don't we want to have screens? Can you see the long tube? There's a duct that's right above the grid. The tube has vents, and it would blow and cause the screen to ripple. Good catch, right? before we hung it. It was a good catch. There's a lot of things here I never thought that we would ever do, but we did because it turned out to be the right thing to do, like TVs versus screens. We have on this wall, if you go two-thirds of the way back and you look up, you'll see an outlet, a little random outlet up there. And you think, what? Why is there a random outlet there? Because as we fill this room, we're going to add a second set of TVs. Because I think we're going to get bigger. I do. That's one of the reasons we wanted to get out of the old chapel. Okay, now the ropes in the room. I want to explain the ropes in the room. It's part of an idea, of a concept that we're trying to do, a flow. Nobody likes the ropes in the room. I don't. Probably you don't either. In fact, I'm the kind of personality that would look at the ropes of the room and say, I'll just move them and sit where I want to sit. Who cares? We're trying to create a sense of flow. And in this room, we have 355 chairs right now. And if we sat scattered, we would look silly. Just silly. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to sit scattered and look crazy like that. So we're going to sit together and have a sense of unity and community by sitting together. And if people move the ropes, now today doesn't count. That's why, with affection, I picked on George. But today doesn't count because nobody knew anything. But in the future, if I know that people are moving ropes, I will ask them not to, and I will ask them to move seats because we want to sit like family. Do you know why? Because we are family. If you have somebody that comes and joins you for dinner and they sit in the backyard, do you appreciate? So why would we sit in a backyard? Yes? So we sit together. Now the ropes are just they're just a reminder of that for this space. The whole building is a flow. Before we bought the building, we had a whale of a time trying to figure this building out. That we came in, we had groups, I sent an email out to our elders and our sister congregation elders, and I said, if you'd like to see the building, then meet. We're going to see the building this first night. Now, we all walked out with the same impression. It was not a good first impression, but it just kind of gnawed. One of the problems that we had with it was the layout was really janky. They had the nursery upstairs where some of the offices were, and they were split everywhere, the last groups to use it. No complaints with them, but we thought it's not a good flow, and people can't find anything. When they were upstairs, when we were in the old chapel, even explaining where the downstairs bathrooms were was like, okay, what you gotta do is you look for the trash can and then turn left. You know, it was ridiculous. So we came back a second time. We thought, well, can we change the building? Can we make the flow more intuitive for people? So that's why they come downstairs or the ramp, and the first thing they see is the welcome. So we hope the eyes are brought downstairs. And when you look to the right, the cafe is right there. And we took out the load-bearing wall to make a nice big entrance. That was a massive project for us. And it was a massive project in terms of getting permits and inspections. I think that wall alone, just doing that, was three different inspections. And we did the work ourselves. And I think we still spent like $26,000 just to take out a wall. Then we have the children's area. We took out a wall there, and we changed the rooms and the flow. We want one person, when they walk downstairs, to see everything. If somebody gets to the bottom of the stairs at the entryway, and they look to the left, they see right into this room. They look to the right, they see the cafe, and their eyeballs find the children's area. And that's about as intuitive as we can make it. Don't you think? I was very excited when we hit that epiphany. We went, hey, and we started really thinking on it. And then we brought in some other people, some people with some build experience, design experience, and we said, can we do this? I asked one particular architect, a man who's been in the business for 40 years or whatever, and I walked him through the building and I said, do you think it's a big deal? He said, no, this is a nothing thing. This is a nothing. And then he started talking about these other things, and I'm like, whoa, buddy, you know, I'm just one man, you know, I just want to do these simple things. And we got our flow. So we're going to work on our flow, and we're going to try to keep everybody downstairs on the weekend. We don't have any reason to go upstairs anymore on the weekend, except maybe for the library. But the good news is we don't have any other reasons to go upstairs. So if somebody says, oh, I'll go upstairs, I would say, why? Everything's here. We have more bathrooms downstairs. We have this room. We have cafe. What's upstairs that we really need? Praise God, nothing. Isn't that good? So the emergency response team, to help with flow, but also to help with security, is going to, they're going to try to keep people downstairs. So if you go upstairs, they may stop you and say, hey, where are you going there? Stay downstairs. Because the upstairs itself is a nightmare to manage with all of the nooks and crannies. They want to know who's where. But more importantly, it helps us with flow. I think we have a nice flow. I think we're going to grow into it a little bit also. We got to get used to the space, but I think it's going to be all right. Another point, I just have a couple more points. This really isn't a long message. We have to start getting the word out about us. You know, there's just not a lot of messianic congregations out there. I mean, even in America. And here we are in Menomonee Falls. I think the very first time there's been a synagogue of any type, any type whatsoever, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Messianic, anybody, is us. And the first time on a Shabbat that the Torah came out was us. The first time the Shema was said as a community was us. We are the first. We are the first. So everything we do, whether people love us or hate us, I think we're the first in this area. I think we're going to find some people who don't really care for Jews. I think we're going to find a lot of people who are intrigued in what's going on. But regardless, we have to get the word out about us. There's a lot of ways of doing it. Tomorrow, the Harvest Picnic is one of them. I hope they smell our burgers coming, cooking, and they want to come over and eat one. I hope they send their kids in the bounce house. Not like 75 at a time. But I hope they have a good time in the bounce. You get what I'm saying. And they find out about us. And we start to talk to them. We tell them who we are. That's something. I've got plans with our emergency response team leader. We're going to go to the village of Menomonee Falls Police Department and say hello to them. It's good for us to know the police department. Found out there was one Jewish person in the police department. We actually have little gifts for them. I'm excited about that. We're going to send mailers out in the neighborhood, letting them know we're here and to come and visit us. That's really going to be like a neon sign, you know, check this place out. Little strobe lights hitting our building, but it's going to be cool. This winter, we'll strategize some events that we can do from this building, and I mean all kinds of events. One thing that I would like to do, this is just me, I think it'd be fun, to have an old car, classic car show in the backyard. Yep. Park the cars up all along the grass. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Yeah. It's not a great deal of work. It's mostly in advertising and then bringing some food trucks or whatever. I don't even know. We have to plan. But things like that, of course, there's other things that are more spiritual, but just letting people know we're here is a big battle. I have met, there's a couple groups that are out there that we are currently letting use our building in different ways. One of them is John Shlavinsky. Some of you know John. He's a very good friend to us here at Beth Messiah. And he's been a very good friend to us for like 15 years. It takes too long to say all the reasons why. But on Wednesday night, he leads a group from other churches. He uses our prayer room. Other churches come here on a Wednesday night. They don't want to come to Beth, but they want to come here, and they want John to teach them Romans 9, 10, and 11, which is the Messianic view, the Jew and Gentile, and how that flows together, touches a little bit of Galatians, Ephesians 2, and then, of course, the Old Testament. So he teaches them. And then what happens from there is they will come in and visit. In fact, this year for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we had a whole group of them. And walking in for the very first time going, wow, man. You could just see them just starting to understand. So that's something. It gets a word out about us, but it also gets a proper doctrine out there. Another group that we've got is, it's not as big as I thought it was going to be this year, but maybe next year. We'll see a larger scale. There's a group of Milwaukee area pastors. It's just not a big group, but it's a serious group, and they are quite interested in Beth Messiah. And what they're very interested in is the messianic understanding of the scriptures. What they have in common is they all love Israel, but they can't necessarily tell you why they love Israel. And so we met in the sukkah in our tent last week. Last Shabbat, I went in there at 3:30. We had dinner for him. And I was asked if I could lead some traditional Sukkot blessings and explain Sukkot. So I worked on all my notes to do that. And I sat down in the tent and I said a prayer to kind of start the night off. And all of a sudden, they just started asking me questions and I didn't even get to anything about Sukkot. I wonder if they wonder why they sat in a tent. I really do. Because we never talked about it one time. We had a delicious meal, But they asked everything from, doesn't Israel just love Netanyahu? Well, no. I mean, some do, you know, it's like some like Kamala Harris, some like Donald Trump. But we talked through that, we talked through scriptures, and that's something I think is really going to grow, and we expect more people to join this group. The expression I like is you influence the influencers, and the word gets out about us, and the word gets out about good, healthy doctrine. There's another group of non-English speakers, and I don't want to say too much because it's still forming. There's a half dozen congregations, and they're interested in us also. The problem is I don't speak their language, so this will be an interesting journey, and we'll see what the Lord... But I think the Lord's doing things, and he's widening the influence of our house, but they have to know that we're here. We're inviting, see if he comes, Menominee Falls Village President. There's no mayor in Menominee Falls, but there's a president. We're going to invite the president to come. Are you getting the idea? We got a lot to do. A lot to do. A lot of people to network with. A lot of people to meet. A lot of people to share the Lord with. It's not the building. We're not doing it for the building. The building is the opportunity for us to do it. The building is the mechanism, the tool. Even right now with our unfinished building, I'm still so happy to show them the building because I believe God has worked in us to bring this building to be. Isn't it a blessing? I know there's opportunity here. I know there's things we have to fix here. You don't have to tell me everything today. I do hear on a regular basis things that are broken. It's good to know if something's broken. Sometimes I don't know. For the most part, I've heard it about 9 times. But we're growing in it together. We really are. This building is a gift from God. It's a physical manifestation of his goodness to us. Kylie, without a door there, it's impossible to sneak out. Kylie has another engagement. She told me beforehand. She's not trying to run away. She's a believer. She's okay. Leave her alone. So please stand up. Let's pray for our building. Can we do that? Lord, we know that you have provided this place. You have done it from your own hand, your own strength. You did it without fundraiser. It's remarkable, actually, how you did it. We don't have time to talk about it all this morning, but it's remarkable. And here we are in renovated rooms with new carpet and new walls. Literally new walls. There was no walls here, Lord. There's no floor. There was no stage. There was not even a flow, but you provided. You prepared us. Our lives for this moment, God. You put within us what we needed to do this. And we're not done and you're still working through. We have so many questions about just the building, Lord. But we say thank you. Teach us how to use your building, Lord. Your building for your kingdom good. For your righteousness. For your holiness. Teach us how to use it for your message. For your story of your son's great sacrifice and the great resurrection. Teach us how to use it for encouragement. Teach us how to use it for agape. Teach us how to use it in an offensive manner, not just some old place that sits there only fired up and used in the weekends. Lord, how do we use it all the time? How are we stewards of it all the time? You've given it to us, Lord. Help us grow into it now. We've come. We've done our part that you've led us to come. Now we are asking you for more of how to fill it. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for this gift. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha vihunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Peace in our new place. Amen. We are blessed. Amen? Amen. The elders will be praying. There's fellowship. There's Oneg down the hall. Easy to find. Have a good day.